Hey, welcome back to my podcast, What Am I Watching Right Now? And you're listening to Anjali Sinha. And in this podcast episode, we are going to talk about this fantasy series that I just finished. I watched both of the seasons that are available on Netflix. And the show is called The Umbrella Academy. And yeah, let's get into it. Before we get into the podcast episode, I think it's my obligation to tell you a little bit about my disappearance. I know there hasn't been any new podcast episodes for the past 15 days, and the reason for that is a bit personal. But now there are a couple of you more than there were. So I'll just be honest with you, because I'm also working on being more honest with other people. It's not like I ever was really dishonest. I just don't tell people anything. So that's my whole life story. But recently, I confessed my feelings for someone, and I got a big whooping rejection, and I've just been trying to wrap my head around that and trying to give myself some space so I can process and heal and grow from that. Also, it was a very inopportune time, because I was also interviewing for this job, which I was pretty sure that I would get hired, and the process kind of embroiled me for like a month. So I got like two rejections on the same day, and it kind of fucked with my head, to be honest. And it took me a bit of time to process that, and I haven't been in a very good headspace, but after a couple of days now, this is the first day I feel like making a podcast episode, and I do want to get back to my own routine, my life, and yeah. So that has been the reason I've been gone. Also, like, I have so many thoughts about thank you, whoever was trying to start their bike. Excuse you for that. On processing a breakup, and I feel like every time something like this happens, the only focus you should put on is yourself. And I know nobody asked me for advice, but if someone or any of you is going through heartbreak, and there are so many kinds of heartbreaks in this world. It's not just like romantic, when a good friend changes cities, or you know, someone moves away that you really loved and you loved spending time with them. It's a heartbreak of its own. It's kind of rejection, even though we do not call it. It's grief, and it takes time to process all of that. So if you're going through any of that, take it easy, I would say. Like, take your time. Also, not block your emotions. I feel like we are told as, I won't say adult, because I don't think of myself as an adult. I'll say this is the same advice we are given as teens and adults as well. Like, you know, you should just move on. You should go out, party, hang out, and maybe get under someone new to get over someone else. And I feel like that's a very harmful advice. Like, that's going to do you more harm than good, because it puts the focus on them. It doesn't put the focus on you. when it should be on you. You shouldn't be thinking about how do I get over them and move on, but you should be thinking about how can I grow and heal from this. And yeah, just trying to process your emotions. Let yourself cry. I cried the whole night. I got the rejection. Literally, I didn't even go to bed. I tried to write in the midst of my meltdown. And yeah, I even wrote like 300 words. And it was interesting. It was a very interesting night. I just let myself be human. And you should do that too. Let yourself be human, but within reason. You shouldn't be harming the other person. I also had like a bit of guilt, thinking that there was a third person involved in the equation that I wasn't aware of. If I knew that they were there, I wouldn't even have sent that message. But there has been miscommunication on my part. I should have asked them, like, do you have someone important in your life right now? And I didn't. So that's something new I learned, that you have to ask people. If you like them, you have to ask them, like, hey, is there someone else involved in this equation that I don't know about? And if you know that, then it saves you a lot of heartbreak. Not really, because you already had feelings for them. And I'm not embarrassed. I was a little bit, to be honest, but now that I think back, I'm not, because it was very courageous of me to put myself out there. And I'm like, I know it didn't materialize or nothing came out of it, but I'm proud that, you know, you went there and you did that. Because ever since I've been a child, you know, sometimes I didn't do things that would really make me happy or would leave me with a sense of what ifs. And I don't want to be the person like 90 in my deathbed and thinking that, hey, what if I had asked that guy out that I was in love in my 20s and I didn't? What if I had just confessed my feelings? And it's okay for them to say no. It's okay for them to establish boundaries. And it's respectful, even, to be honest. And yeah, always try to get a bit out of your comfort zone. I'll say that you might think that it's going to lead you into a bit of heartbreak. Sometimes it does that, but sometimes it also opens doors for you. Be direct, be open, be open-minded. And sometimes you're going to be proved wrong, but I don't think it's a bad thing. It's rejection is not the end of the world. Now I have closure. Now I know why it won't ever work, because I never really asked them, and I would have just thought about them more like the 2.5 years that I thought about him on and off. For a bit there, I forgot about him because I pushed all of my feelings deep down and realized recently, like, how toxic, I won't say toxic, I'll say how cowardly of me for doing that. Like, you have feelings, reach out, tell someone, tell the person that you have feelings for, and if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out, and then you can cry, be emotional, because I'm a bit more emotional, I'm too emotional sometimes, and then move on, I guess. I know nobody asked for any of this, but hey, here you are. I love oversharing, I think. Okay, after I've gotten that out of my chest, sorry, and let's get into the Umbrella Academy. So while I was going through all of that, I've been watching the Umbrella Academy because it was a really good escape. And if you need an escape in your life, a good TV series does that for you. And I would definitely say that The Umbrella Academy was a good show for me to watch around that time. I'll say the first three episodes in the first season takes a bit of time to find itself, because they have to do the world building. So you have to understand that, because it's a fantasy world, and you need to know like what's going on, what's the rhyme or reason for things that are happening in the show. But after you wrap your mind around all of that, and it's like the first three or four episodes, then it becomes like good, like really good. And I think I haven't seen a really good fantasy show in a while, to be honest. And I really enjoy this. And I think the last good one I watched was The Magicians, even though it was good in a different way. I would say that it was very tropey, and I could really guess like what's going to happen. With season one, I also guessed a couple of events, because you can guess things, you know. And but with season two, it became really unpredictable, and I really like that. Like, the season two was way more lit than season one. But I'm not telling you to, you know, do not watch season one, because it really has its merits. So if you know nothing about the show, I'm going to talk about some stuff that's probably going to involve spoilers, and I know, but how am I supposed to tell you stuff if there isn't going to be any plot again? So yeah, so the show starts with the basic premise of 43 women giving birth, and all of these kids are gifted, and they have superpowers essentially. And there's this old billionaire named Reginald Hargreaves, who goes around and pays money to these mothers and fathers, whoever, and he kind of adopts some children. I think the first scene is basically a girl and a boy flirting, and then she goes into the pool, and then she gets pregnant out of nowhere, and she gives birth. So I'm not sure if that was the same kind of thing that happened to all these 43 women, but something did happen. And the thing is that Reginald adopts like 7 children, and he tries to you know, give them training to kind of see the apocalypse that's going to happen in 20 something years or something like that. So it's a story about a dysfunctional family, and they're all awfully talented in the sense that not only they have superpowers, they can do other things, and they're all kind, nice, funny, but still like dysfunctional, in the sense that Reginald adopted them to not treat them like his children, but to like give them training, and he makes this the Umbrella Academy. And that's the basic premise. But as you go in the show, you learn that every character have had their problems. One of them gets murdered, and he doesn't survive because he was sent on one of these tasks. So Reginald sends them to save people when something happens, and he dies. But again, he's there in the ghost form, and he materializes himself in the real world through claws. But you see that in season two. So yeah. And I mean, he's constantly there in the first season as well, because Klaus can talk to the dead. And yeah, essentially it shows you that there are no moral stories about the family. It's just like a family being dysfunctional and finding their way, and trying to sort through family matters during they have like 7 days or something, and there's the apocalypse. Then there's this woman called the handler, because one of the kids time travels, and the time travel quotient is very well executed, because there's rhyme and reason for the time travel. It's not just interdimensional, or if it's being done, then there's logic behind it, and that's the part that's like reasonably executed. It makes sense and it's interesting. Also, they got the characterizations right. There's this one carefree sibling, which happens like when you have a couple of siblings. Once the tight follow the rule, work by the rules guy in the family, and there's this one carefree brother or sister, and there's this another brother or sister that's like protective, and then there's the baby of the family, and obviously there's one child that's like overlooked, which is Vanya. So, and they all fit certain characteristics, and when you'll see the show, it'll make it'll be like very clear to you who is who and why they are that, because there's also like a really good background and backstory working simultaneously with the plot, while you learn things about the apocalypse and the world is ending and why it will happen. They all try to figure out why and when and who triggers the apocalypse and how they will you know, work through that. In the beginning, Reginald dies, so everybody gathers in their old house, because their team, which they call themselves the Umbrella Academy, it disbands over the years, because obviously you can't just keep kids in a house and make them follow the rules all the time. So they disband, they go on their separate ways, but then they come back because Reginald dies, and then they reconnect. Then Five come back through time traveling, and he says that the world is going to be ending. And there's also good music, there are dance numbers, which I really like. Was it the salsa? I think it was the salsa, but it could be something else too. I know it's one of those, or what was it, Zumba? I'm not really sure. There's a very good dance number in the first season, and first season is, I felt like it was still finding itself, so there was like a lot of world building going on apart from even the third or the fourth episode. We are learning why things are there and why is what's happening. You know, big reveals are done the first season, but I really like the second season because it caught its pace. It held my attention, which is good, because once something gets boring, I get completely bored and I stop paying attention, which didn't happen, which was interesting. Good job, I guess. Like I said, good music, really fitting scenes, everyone plays their character part right. Second season, I really liked it because there was not only plot and character arc, separate plot and character arcs going on, but there was also a lot of stakes and unpredictability. You can't really tell who's gonna do what next, and it was really nice. I also liked the Allison's storyline, like it was very beautifully done. Also liked Vanya's. I also liked Claw's storyline, like he made me laugh so much. it was very funny, like his character made me laugh a lot, and he's actually super funny in the first season as well. He's like, he does very good, his timing with his comedic timing is amazing, and it really blossoms in the second season. Really liked it. I felt like there could have been more episodes, because I wanted to see more, you know, because the way they ended it, I wanted to see more of that, if like Sissy time travels, or if Harlan will do something back in the 1960s that will trigger Fife to time travel back or whatever. I just wanted to see more, and I think it's very rare that I want to see more of any shows that I watch. So I would really like that. And good pacing, you know, things go off just fine. There are enough twists and turns. There are, I think, good twists and turns in season one as well, but I really like that in season two. Really unpredictable. I liked that they were not only, how do I say that? They gave a really unpredictable plot arcs to some of the characters, like when Diego's love interest was introduced to us in season one. I didn't expect her to die so quickly, but she died because they teased like a lot of romantic tension and sexual tension and whatnot. But she dies, like, I didn't expect that, because I felt like she's going to play a big role or something. They are all going to unearth the apocalypse or whatever, whoever is scheming to bring the apocalypse so soon. But she dies, and I'm like, wow, she's just gone. So what happens now? And yeah, that's how unpredictable it was, and it held my attention. It had a lot of fantasy elements going on. Even the Vanya storyline in season one took me a little by surprise. Even though I know the creepy guy when he shows up, that he's going to play a sort of a villain or something. So because that face like really gave things away. You can't trust guys who look like that, like, or has that creepy smile. So whatever. But yeah, I didn't expect the end of what Vanya did, but I kind of guessed it by episode 7. So yeah, I really liked it. It keeps you on your toes, and that's why I think it would be a good idea if you want to watch something that's fantasy. I will say this is 100,000 times better than Shadow and Bone, because I watched the first episode of that. I heard everyone saying like, oh, that's amazing, that's an amazing, it's an amazing book, and they were like, oh, that's an amazing adaptation. And then I watched it, and I was so bored 20 minutes in that I fell asleep watching that. So it helped, like, it put me to sleep. So yeah, that's all. Also, especially liked the actor who played number 5, because you constantly forget that he's like just 13 and he plays the role of someone who's in his 50s. And I think even the villains have a character arc. I really like the handler in the season one. She was more menacing, and in season two she doesn't seem like that much. Also, I felt like her having a secret daughter as Lila was a bit too convenient. It also reminded me a bit of Disney. So yeah, apart from that, felt like everyone's character suit the characterization, because the story is not about just superheroes saving the world, but it's essentially about stunted children making peace with their really fucked up childhoods, basically. And that's why they all act dumb in different places, but it makes sense that why they are behaving like that, given the kind of parenting they got from Reginald. So yeah, that's all I wanted to say. The only reason I will not go in super depth about this series is because basically the whole fantasy series lies on the back of its twists and turns in this show and world building. So if I tell you everything, it would make no sense for you to watch it, because you won't be surprised. And I think that's the surprise. The surprise element is very big in The Umbrella Academy, and that's why you keep watching, you want more. And if someone spoils that for you, you would not want to watch it. So yeah, I will just end this here. And yeah, thank you for coming in and listening to me. Sorry about me talking about my personal life. I know nobody has subscribed to it for that reason here, but I felt like I had to say something because I was gone for a bit, and I just wanted you to catch up on that. If you care enough, if you don't, good for you. I'll see you next time. Have a good day or night or whatever, and take care of yourselves. It was lovely talking to you.